As we dive into Psalm 67, it's only seven verses, but that doesn't mean we're getting out of here in 7 minutes, church, right? There's a lot packed in here. In these seven verses, we're going to see two overarching truths, but two truths that have to go together. We'll see the love that God has for us, and we'll see that he blesses us, but we'll also see that his love and his blessings on our lives and on our church are not just for us. Psalm 67 shows us that God has a purpose for us. And so, church, if you're able, would you guys stand and to reading of God's word, to honor the reading of God's word? And so we're going to read through this, we'll pray, and then we'll dive in to see what God has for us. You guys follow along as I read Psalm 67, beginning in verse 1. Here's what God's word says. God, be gracious to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation known among the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Father, we come before you today. God, we're all coming from different places, going through different things, but we're all gathered here today because you brought us together. God, we know that we've got people that are traveling. It's travel season at ALC. And God, we pray, Lord, you be with our people as they're traveling. Maybe they're watching online today. God, we pray, Lord, today, whether we're online or right here, God, would you help us just surrender? Help us humble our hearts. Set aside our desires and our wants and listen to your desires and your wants. God, would you teach us today? Would you fill us today? Would you comfort us today? Would you encourage us today with your word? We love you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And God's church said, amen. You can be seated. Church, Psalm 67 is a psalm, a prayer to God by God's people. And it focuses on God and blessing his people. But it doesn't stop there. It shows us that his blessings on us, on our lives, on our church, aren't just for us, but there's a purpose. And so what we're going to do is we're going to divide this into two sections. We're going to focus on verse 1 for the first half and then focus and really focus on the way that God blesses his people. And then we'll dive into verse 2 through the end and see what we're to do with those blessings. And we'll see how God can use you and me and our church, not just to reach people here, not just to reach people in Arizona, but to reach the nations as he blesses us. And so look with me to verse 1. It says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. The words we read in verse 1, they come from a blessing that we find in Numbers chapter 6. If you were to look at Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24 through 26, you're going to see where God is speaking to Moses. And God comes to Moses and he says, Moses, I want you to give these words to Aaron. And then Aaron is supposed to share these words. He's supposed to read these words and say these words over God's people. It was a blessing. And ever since that moment, God's people, they would go to the priest and the priest would bless them with these words. He would say to them, may the Lord bless you and protect you or keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and give you peace. And so here in Psalm 67, we see this prayer and blessing. And these words have been repeated and shared for many years among the Jewish people and really even in the Christian church. You might be familiar with these words. There's some popular Christian songs out there that have these words in there. And so let's see what verse 1 means for you and me today and for our church. When we read these words, let's think about what this prayer means for your life and my life and beyond our life. Psalm begins in verse 1 by saying, God, be gracious to us. We see that word, grace. We're familiar with that word, right? If you're a parent, you've probably said to your kids, I'm going to be gracious with you right now. In fact, one of the most famous songs in the world sings of God's grace. It says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But what does it mean for God to be gracious to us? What does it mean for him to be gracious to us? It means that he gives us what we in no way could earn or deserve. That's what grace is. We receive what we didn't or couldn't earn. But we're going to take it a little bit deeper today because that's kind of a surface level definition of grace. Let's take it a little deeper. When we ask God to be gracious to us, here's what it's doing. It's really asking two things. It's asking God to not give us what we do deserve, but give us what we don't deserve. Let me say that again. When God is gracious to us, he does not give us what we do deserve, and he gives us what we do not deserve. And so let that sit with you for a bit, church. This prayer to God is from us as sinners who have rebelled against God, sinners who are far from God, sinners who the Bible says are enemies of God, and sinners who have chosen the pleasures and treasures and sins of the world instead of choosing to love and follow the Lord. And so this prayer is you and me as sinners saying to God, be gracious to me. Please don't give me what I've earned because of my sin, but give me what I never earned because of you, Jesus. God, you alone can be gracious to us. God, would you show us your agape love toward us? Would you be compassionate toward us? This is a prayer saying, God, you see my sin. You see my rebellion. God, but you also see my need for you, and you see that there's nothing. Yes, I'm a sinner, but there's nothing I can do about it. And so, God, I need you. Will you be gracious to us, oh God? God, would you give us what we could never earn or deserve? Be gracious to us. Then it moves on. The psalm says, be gracious to us, or may God be gracious to us and bless us. This is saying, God, would you bless us with your kindness and with your provision? Lord, allow us to benefit from what you've given us by blessing us. And this is talking about all kinds of blessings, right? He's blessing us with physical and spiritual blessings, right? We know it's not just spiritual blessings because in verse 6, which we'll look at in a bit, it talks about the harvest of God blessing them with the food they need, right? Here's the cool reality. God does want to bless you physically. He calls on us, church, to seek him and to ask of him for things that we need. Church, he wants you to seek him. He wants you to ask him of things, because when we do that, we know that he is the source and provider of all things. But even greater than physical blessings, sometimes we get stuck there. God blesses us spiritually. So this could be us receiving his grace, his love, his mercy. It's God giving us things like receiving his strength and wisdom. It's us receiving his presence and his life through salvation. And so this is a prayer for both physical and spiritual blessings from God. But here's the truth, church. God wants to bless his people. So God be gracious to us and bless us. And then it says, cause his face to shine upon us. I love this part. I might get a little excited during this part, church. Shine his face upon us. When we see that word, face, it's an awesome word. When we see it used in the Old Testament, that Hebrew word for face, it speaks of God's face, but it often speaks of God's presence. The majority of the time that we see that word in the Old Testament, it is talking about God's face, but many times it's talking about God's presence. They go together. And so this is amazing, church. This is us saying, may the light of God's face be on you and me. This is about us being in God's presence and God's face smiling on us. For them and their culture, this statement would have made a whole lot of sense to them. Just think about this. Just think about being a common, normal person. And you got an invitation. You were able to come into the presence of the king over a nation. Kind of a big deal. And then as just a common and normal person, you were allowed to not only be in the king's presence, but you were able to speak to the king. And not only speak to the king, but you were able to make a request to the king. Much bigger deal. But then that king who leads the nations, that particular nation, when he heard your request, he invited you in, you're in his presence, he allows you to speak to him, he hears your request. And then if he smiled on you with pleasure, that was a sign that usually meant that the one making the request was going to receive from the king what they requested. And so that smile on them was a really big deal. But remember, God is not the ruler over just America or just Africa or just somewhere else. He is the ruler over all nations. He is the King of Kings. He's ruler over all rulers. And church, he is the with us God. We say that a lot here. He is the with us God. Jesus came as Emmanuel, which, help me out, church, which means God with us. So Jesus, God in the flesh, came and he lived a perfect life with us, and he went to the cross for us and rose again so that we could be with God forever. And we get to walk with God. We get to worship God. We get to pray to God. Church, we get to be in his presence, and we get to hear from him and be loved by him and take our request to him. If you're saved today, the Bible says the Holy Spirit resides within you. Doesn't get much closer than that, does it? And so we're not talking about just a president or a mayor or a governor or a king over a nation. We're talking about the King of Kings over the universe and over all of creation. Church, to be in the presence of a nation's ruler and to take a request to them and have that request, right, answer that request, that's no doubt a big deal. But church, to be in the presence of God and to have the glorious face of God shine upon us, church, I don't know if we can have a better gift than that. To know that God not only knows you and sees you, but to know that he shines his face, he smiles upon us. To have his light, to have the light of his face on us is huge, church. And this is about as relational as it gets. I remember telling our youngest daughter, who we adopted last year at 8 years old, 7 years old. She was seven, right? She knows that stuff. We asked her about God. She said, it through a translator, she said, "Man, I know who God is. He made everything, but then he kind of went on and did other God stuff." You got to see her face when I told her that God is present and that he sees her and he knows her and he loves her. You got to see her face light up. That should make our face light up, church. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes we look like a bunch of grumps. Amen? Right, James? That's crazy, right? Let's not be grumpy. Right? God's face shines upon us. I remember when our kiddos were really little. Let's think about it personally. And we would have our kiddos just like really tiny sitting on our lap, and they would just stare at our face, right? And they're watching your face. Why? Because kiddos, they want to see your face. They want to see your facial expressions. That's vital for them. And when they're sitting on your lap and they can see that you're a grump, they're going to notice it. When they see us, church, when those children see us, smile at them. It changes their life. It changes that moment for them. Their face lights up. God is a personal, relational God. He's not a king that doesn't want us in his presence. He's a king that came so we could be in his presence, church. Right? He's a personal relationship God with relational God. And so here's what's happening in verse 1. This is us praying for this blessing from the God who is over all things, who has every blessing to give us. This is us seeking God for his undeserved grace toward us. This is us seeking God for his grace and his compassion and his love and his mercy. That he would be kind and merciful toward us, sinners who have nothing to offer. That's kind of crazy. When we give somebody something, we're like, what am I going to get back in return? God blesses us when we're sinners who have nothing to offer him. And this is us seeking his blessing, physically and spiritually. But his blessings, church, this is a good word for us today. His blessings are not all that we're to seek from God. It's not all that we're to crave and want from God. This prayer is us seeking God. It's us seeking his presence. It's us seeking his salvation and for his face to notice us and look on us and smile on us with pleasure. Notice what happens next. Notice how verse 1 is written. It says, God be gracious to us and bless us. And cause his face to shine upon us. And then it says, Salah. Justin, I don't have it on my screen. Where'd Justin go? Don't worry about it. Just keep going. All right. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine on us. If you look at that verse, notice there's no period after upon us. And there really shouldn't be a period after Salah. There's no period. Because this isn't the end. There's more that God has to say to us about his blessings. There's a continuation. We don't have a complete thought yet. And we're going to get to that complete thought in a minute. But notice what is there. It says, Selah. Say that with me, church. Selah, right? You guys see it in your Bibles? Are you guys with me? It's right there at the end of verse 1. And it's placed there for a purpose. Because Selah is a Hebrew word that indicates a pause. If we see that word in music, it means to have a musical interlude. If we see it used in a play where there's a performance, it means that there's a pause in between acts. And if it's used in writings or in a speech, it means to pause and reflect and to meditate and think about what was just said. So Selah at the end of verse 1, it indicates that we're to pause and reflect on what God just said in verse 1, but then keep going. There are some verses that we look at and we just read that verse and we can kind of move on, right? Not this one. If you're in a song, it means to pause, but the song's not over yet. In a play, it means to pause in between acts, but there's more to the story. There's more to the show. And in this psalm, God wants us to pause. He wants us to focus on what we just read, but not to stop because there's more. And so let's pause and think about this for a second. What does verse 1 mean for us? Here's truth number 1 for your bulletins. For us to pause and think about, here's truth number 1. As God's people, we are to seek God. And we're to enjoy the face of God in our life. We seek God, why? Because he is the provider, because he's the creator, because he's the one that gives, because he's the one that blesses, because he's the one that's gracious. He is the one who is worthy, church, and he is the one you need. And when we experience God at work in our lives, when we experience him blessing us, when we experience his grace, when we get to enjoy the life that he has given us, we enjoy living in his presence and he fills us with joy. His face shines upon us. Verse 1 shows us that as God's people, we're to seek him and to be in his presence and enjoy the face of God in our lives. God looks on us with pleasure, church. That's a good word. Be gracious. Bless us. Make your face shine upon us. But we don't stop there because remember, there's more. And so we come to verse 2. And the first word that we see here is the word that. You guys see that in verse 2? It's the word that. In our English language and how we speak, we would say it as so that. Right? This is a connecting word. It connects verse 1 and verse 2 together. In other words, here's what verse 1 says. God, would you be gracious to us? Would you bless us? Would you make your face shine upon us? Verse 2, so that something else happens. Okay? Church, God wants to bless and be gracious to us. He wants us to be in his presence. He wants his face to shine and smile on us with pleasure. But that's not just so that we receive his blessing. And then that's it. God doesn't bless you just so you get it and then nothing else. There's a reason that he's blessing you. Now, of course, let's do the obvious. God is gracious. He's compassionate. He blesses us because he loves us. Maybe that's where you're at today and you just need to hear that. God does those things. He wants you in his presence because he loves you. I don't think it gets better than that, right? The Bible says that while we were still sinners, still enemies of God, still rebelling against God, Jesus came and died for us. Why? So that he could prove his love for us. And so he's gracious and blesses us, and he invites us into his presence because he loves us. But verse 2 is telling us there's more. It's not just about you. It's not just about us. It's not just about us being blessed by God. The psalmist is saying, God, be gracious to us. Bless us. Make your face shine on us so that your way may be known on the earth. So that your salvation among all nations. So that let the peoples praise you, O God, let the peoples praise you. God, be gracious toward us so that you and your way will be known among the nations, so that your salvation will be heard and made known throughout the nations, and not just in my life, not just in our church, not just in Tucson, but among all nations, among all people, so that you will be praised. The Bible says that one day when we're in heaven, every nation, every tribe, every tongue will be there. Somebody from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue will be there worshiping the Creator and the Savior of us, church. We get to be a part of that. Listen to this. Verse 1 and 2 together are saying, God bless us so that you, not me, so that you may be known and glorified by everyone everywhere. Come on. God bless me, bless ALC, bless our people so that you're known and you get glorified by everyone everywhere. We're too worried about us being glorified. This is just shuts that down. And guys, this is a truth we see throughout Scripture. I think about when I was studying this, I was thinking about what happens in Joshua chapter 5 and 6. I've always thought this was kind of crazy, but cool at the same time. Joshua is leading. Moses has passed away. Joshua is leading his people, right? God's people through the desert. They've been kind of stinky and smelly, and they're out doing their thing. They're looking for their place that God says, I've got a place for you. And they make their way to Jericho, a city that God said, this is going to be your city. It's a major city, and it was protected by a massive wall. And in that moment, Joshua goes to God, and he said, all right, God, I need the battle plan. You've been in the military. You'll know what this means, right? What's the plan, boss, right? What do we do? And that moment, Joshua is seeking God for the battle plan. He says, God, you promised us this land, but there's a problem. People who oppose you and oppose us, they occupy it. So what's the plan? And it's interesting because in that moment, God doesn't command him to get on like a Black Hawk helicopter and go over the walls, right? He doesn't cause them to get the Navy SEALs and go below the walls. He doesn't give them a normal military strategy. You know what he does? God says, all right, Joshua, come in close. I want you to get all of my people. And I want you to start walking around this wall. I want you to walk around this city. And after you do that so many times for so many days, after that, here's what I want you to do, Joshua. I want you to tell the priests to get their horns out and start playing, tooting their horn, right? Start playing their trumpets and have the people of God just shout really loud. What an amazing military plan. But you know what they did? They said, yes, sir. And they get out there and they trust God. And they said, okay, he's the one that's given us every other victory. So we probably could trust him with this. They get out and they start marching, walking around, doing their thing. And they're going for so many days and so many times. And then all of a sudden, at the right time, the priests put the trumpets up to their face and they start playing a song. And then the people of God just started shouting really loud. And guess what happened? The walls of Jericho collapsed and God's people took the city. What? That's weird. But why did they do that? Why this unusual plan of attack? Here's why. It's so that not one person out there on that field could take the credit or the glory for the victory. It was so that God would be seen and known, and it would be clear only God gets the glory and the praise for the victory. God blessed them with a victory, church. Why? So that he would be made known and praised among all the people. Here's the point. God wants to be gracious and bless us, and he does it because he loves us, church. He loves you. But church, he also blesses us, not so that we can keep it all to ourselves, but so that we will make him known and make his salvation known, and so that everyone everywhere will eventually glorify and praise him because he alone is worthy. Here's the truth. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, every single person in here, you won't have a choice. You will bow on your knees and you will worship the Lord God Almighty. But why not do it now? Here's the truth, church. He will be glorified because he alone is worthy. He blesses us, not so that we can keep it to ourselves, but so that he will be praised amongst your life and the city's life and the state's life and the country's life and the nation, church, because he alone is worthy. Here's a truth we need to understand. We cannot disconnect God's blessing in our lives from God's purpose in our life. When God blesses you, there's a purpose. When God provides for you, when he blesses your family, use that blessing to make him known and so that he would receive the praise. When God is gracious to you, a sinner in need of a loving Savior, use that grace to share Jesus and his salvation with everyone everywhere. So that why? So that he's glorified. I think Psalm 67, verse 1 and 2 describe Christianity very well. God loves me. He is gracious to me. And when I deserve nothing, and he blesses me so that now I can go out and make him known and make his salvation known. And so that others will know God and glorify him. It's no secret that God has blessed Authentic Life Church, but he hasn't blessed us just for us to keep it to ourselves. He has been gracious and blessed us so that we, you, me, every single person in here can be a part of making his great name known. So that we can tell others about his salvation and how he saved us from our sins. That's something only Jesus can do, and so that he will be praised. When God blesses you in your life, how are you using that to make him known? When God blesses our church, guys, we have no choice. We have to use that to make Jesus known and so that he receives the praise. He blesses us because he loves us, but he doesn't bless us just for us. He blesses us for a purpose. Look what it says in verse 2. that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. Don't forget that. Your salvation among the nations. Verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Here's the point. When we receive his grace, when we receive his blessing, when we're able to be in his presence and have his face shine upon us and experience his love for us, we are then to make all of that known to everyone everywhere. As God's people, because he has been gracious and blessed us, we are to make God known and praise him among the nations. We're to make God known and praise him among the nations. There's an old saying, there's an old question that said, you know, if it became illegal to follow Christ and to share Jesus with other people, if it became illegal to be a Christian, would you be convicted? Woo! God has blessed us, church. He's blessed you. And because he has, the whole world should know that you follow Christ. And here's what we're to make known. What do we make known about this? We see it in the scripture. We saw earlier, right, that your salvation known among the nations, right? Verse 2 tells us we're to make it known not only who God is, but that he is the gracious Savior. Our salvation is to be made known among, or his salvation for us is to be made known among all the nations. He's the one who didn't give us what we deserve, but instead gave us what we could not earn on our own. He's the gracious Savior who made a way for you and me to be saved from our sins, rest from the punishment we earned and the death we deserved. Make it known, church, that our God is the gracious Savior, and share with them the life and the joy that God has given you. Next, we're to make known that he is the righteous King. Verse 4 says that God will judge the peoples with uprightness. That might not be a popular message, but it's a true message. Parents, we tell our kids messages all the time. They don't like, but we still tell them the truth, right? And here's why we do that. Because you and me and your neighbors and the people you've never met, all of us will stand before a holy God. He is a loving God, church, but he is also a perfect God. He is a just God, a holy God who cannot allow sin. And without Jesus, you and me are guilty of our sin. But through Jesus, church, not you, not me, he paid the price we owed. He took our place on the cross and died for our sins. Why? So that we could stand before God the Father, fully clean, fully forgiven. Let's try this again, church. If y'all don't understand how big that is, you're missing something, okay? We are guilty of being separated from God for eternity in a place called hell. Amen? We deserve that. But Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, came to be in our place and to give his life and to pay for our sins on the cross, church. And then because of that, when we trust in Jesus, we don't have to have all the answers. We just have to have Jesus. We can stand before God as we were dirty as sin, but now we're white as snow. Because of what Jesus, he paid the price for our sin. If you and I have received his grace and forgiveness, we are to make that truth known to everyone everywhere. You and I were guilty of our sin before a perfect and just God, but Jesus came to forgive us. And then according to verse 4, we're to make known that he is the sovereign King. He's the ruler and King over all things. Verse 4 says that God will guide the nations on the earth. We have our leaders and rulers here on earth, but God is over all of them. By the way, that's a really good truth. He's the one who ultimately reigns over all things. And here's the good thing. We look at our leaders over nations, and we look at them and we're saying, man, you're not a good leader. You're not kind, right? Or maybe you look at one and say, man, you're a good dude, a good dudette, whatever, right? But here's the good news. We don't have to worry about that with God. He's a good ruler. He's a leader who loves you. He's a leader who's perfect. He's a leader who will never lead us astray. He will guide you. He will guide us. He will guide our church. He will guide the nations. The psalm continues in verse 5, let the peoples praise you. I think we can get the idea that we should be praising God. Amen, church, right? Let the peoples praise you. Oh God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. Verse 6 shows us another reason that we praise him and make him known. It's because the earth that he created and sustained, it has yielded its produce. In other words, God provides. God provides. He knows what you need. He knows what satisfies us. Look at your life and what you have and how God has taken care of you. Church, I know that's hard whenever we're struggling in areas. But that's in those moments where we pause and we're reminded that God has always been faithful. And because he's a good provider, and because of all the other things that we've talked about, we're to make known to all people that God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Because of who God is, because of what he's done, because of what he will do, because not only did he create us and sustain us, but he provides for us. All of these give the world every reason to praise him. Look at verse 7. It says, God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. When God is known, he'll be feared. When God is known, all will respect him, all will praise him, all will know of his power and his might and his love, and they will be in awe of who God is. And let's just pause here. If you're not in awe of who God is, you don't know God. But all throughout God's word, one of the reasons we have God's word is because it tells us who he is. Because he has blessed us, we're to make him known and praise him because he is holy. What does it mean to be holy? It means that he is set apart. It means that he is like no one else. There is no one like God, church. There's no one who can do what God does. When we see God at work, our response should be to be in awe of who he is and know that he is set apart, that he's holy. And here's the thing, church. We live in a world where there are many people who have rejected God or have not surrendered to God or they do not know God. There are many unreached people all over the world who aren't following and praising God. But listen, church, but for people to praise God, they must first know God. And God had a crazy plan in Jericho. And he's got another crazy plan. Jesus says the plan is you. It's me. We're the plan. He did the work. We go tell people. For the people to praise God, they must first know God. And because God has been gracious to us and blessed us, we get to be used by God to make him known. Church, this passage should change the way you live. It should change the way I live. Why? Because God has given us so much, more than we could ever earn or deserve. And because of that, because he loves us, but it's also that we made him known throughout the nations. We want God to love us. We want God to bless us. We want God to be gracious for us. We want to be in his presence, his face to shine on us. But it's not just for us. When God blesses us, we need to pause and think, how can I use this blessing to make him known and be praised throughout the world? When we receive God's grace, we need to think, how can I share this with others? When we experience his presence, we need to think about, hey, other people need this too. I promise you, there are people that live next to you, that work next to you, that drive next to you, that need Jesus. This psalm shows us that God loves to bless his people so that all people will know him and praise him. This is a missionary psalm. We talk a lot about missionaries going overseas. This is a missionary psalm for you and me. God is blessing us, and when he does that, here's what he's doing, church. He's sending you and me out to make him known and to exalt him until the whole world knows him and exalts him. This verse should change your life. God, I want to be in your presence. I want you to bless me. I want these blessings. I want you to be gracious to me so that I can go and make you known. Y'all got your steel-toed boots on? I'm going to make a statement here. If you see a form of Christianity, if you hear of a form of Christianity that tells you that you should keep God to yourself, that you should keep Jesus to yourself, that you should keep the gospel and his salvation to yourself, I'm going to say this with the authority of God's word. That is a false form of Christianity. That's cultural Christianity. Hey, keep religion and politics to yourself. I don't care what you do with politics, but I care what you do with God. Amen, church? Man, when God has blessed us, we are to make him known. You will not find in Scripture where Jesus says to us, hey, keep that to yourself. No, Jesus is a sending God. He sends you out. He saves us and sends us out. And so think about your own life. Has God been gracious to you? Has God blessed you? If you know Jesus, then God is with you and he smiles on you. And because of that, don't hold on to those blessings. Use them to make him known. Look at social media. It's about us being known, isn't it? It really is. But social media can be used to make him known, church. Use these blessings to bless others and to tell them who God is so that they too will experience God and his praise, and they would praise him. You know, we spend so much time trying to change laws and politics and platforms. Maybe we should spend more time telling people about the God who loves them and will save their life and spend eternity with him. That will change the world, church. If we truly understand this psalm, it will change the way we live. And so how will you allow God to use this psalm to change you? Will you make God known to all people everywhere? Will you use the blessings God has given you so that others will know Jesus? Don't keep them to yourself. As a church, God has blessed us. Jessica and I were just talking this past week about where we met in our home for the very first time. And then we went to a smaller school and we're just looking at our bank account. We're like, how in the world are we going to make it? And then out of nowhere, like God just provides and he's gracious and he loves us. Are you with me, church? Like, it's crazy. He's been so gracious to us. And you know what? This is his church, right? It's our church family, but he's the boss, church. You're not the boss. I'm not the boss. He's the boss. And guess what? The boss has said, you have no choice. When I bless you, use it to make me known. When I bless you, use it to make me known. And God's people said, whoo, all right. Y'all need some coffee. I need less coffee. We have to, together, make him known. We have to praise him among the nations. Let's seek God and enjoy the face of God, but there is more to it. Let's make him known among the nations. And when the people get to praise God, when they know God, they too will praise God and share God with others. That's God's plan. What has God blessed you with? How will you use that blessing to praise him and to make him known? Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we're going to receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to give us the power to be his witnesses. A witness, that word, martus, it's that Greek word, martus, that says it's you have a truth worth dying for. It's where we get our word martyr. To be a witness means that we have a message that's worth dying for. You're here today, God has been gracious to you. You're breathing today, God has blessed you. I was talking to my son the other day and just talking about how we and just where we are as a family, how we're like in the top 2%, church. Are you with me? Come on. Like we live in America. I mean, you think about it. God has blessed us. How are we going to use that to make his name known and so that other people will know Jesus? We're committed to that at ALC. Are we committed to it in our lives? Let's pray.